Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm gonna be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
All right, let's get started. I'm so happy to introduce Demelzel Danquist. She is a certified hypnobirthing, childbirth educator, and hypnotherapist who is passionate about helping people change their minds about birth and life in order to create an entirely desirable experience. She combines tools and wisdom acquired over the past 12 years traversing the healing arts realm, the birthing world, and hypnotherapy. She believes that most people who have experienced trauma when they were moving through the birth canal are potentially still carrying that trauma response in their bodies as a silent and hidden roadblock. In her session, Demelzel will be sharing key tools to direct consciousness during the perinatal period to the specific needs of your baby as a foundation to their lifelong success. Additionally, she intends to dial you into your own birth experience and offer tools to heal potential birth trauma that may be affecting your adult self today. And you will find more of her information and her links in the chat box. About questions, if you have a question, you can click on the raise hand icon at the bottom of the screen. And any other questions during this session, please type them in the Q&A box and check first to see if your question has been asked. If your question has already been asked, you could click on the question and upvote it. And then I will pass it on to our presenter at the right time. For any technical questions, you can type them in the chat privately to our tech host, Alex, who is helping us out tremendously now. All right. I hand the mic on over to you, Demelza. Thank you so much for presenting for us.
Yes, and thank you, Elise. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. I'm so happy to be here today. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, and whatever time it is, welcome. As Elise mentioned, my name is Demelza Danquist, and I'm going to speak to you today within the framework of using meditation, affirmations, and reparenting to connect with your unborn child and to maybe heal some of your own birth trauma that you're unaware of. So I'm just thrilled to be here in the year, this phenomenal year of 2020. And how many of you can agree that this year has actually offered some amazing silver linings? I know it has for me. And I'm so excited to share with you today. So listen, I am going to share with you for an hour, but you're going to catch on very quickly that after that hour is over, it's just going to feel like 10 minutes. So sit up, listen carefully, and grab a pen and paper because we're going to be using those shortly. So I'm going to say a few things here today that may shift the course of your healing journey. I may say a few things that bore you, but how many of you would like to leave here today with at least one or two tangible, simple tools to improve your relationship really with yourself and then possibly others? I'm imagining most of us would, right? Today, I intend to speak a little bit about pregnancy, birth, and the intricate impact that the perinatal period has on the rest of our lives. And sometimes we don't even realize it. This is a robust topic, and it continues to unfold with ongoing research. So if it is a topic that interests you, certainly I encourage you to get out there and to do more research on it. We need more advocates in the world around this topic. So now throughout our time, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand, kind of like we're all in the same room together. So just humor me, raise your hand or don't. But it's a nice way for us to interact. And at some point, I'm going to also ask you to close your eyes and join me on a journey into the imaginal realm. And remember that the mind doesn't know the difference. It cannot differentiate between the imagination and reality. So come along and enjoy the ride while we do that. I'm also going to share some very specific ways that you can deeply connect with your unborn baby and with your own inner child today. And once I've done this, it may be something that you wish to continue working with. So I highly recommend you involve a practitioner of subconscious therapy, because what arises may surprise you and it can lead you down a very beautiful journey of deep healing. So, okay, let's begin. Raise your hand if you've ever considered being or have been pregnant. Good. Now, raise your hand if you've ever been to a birth. Okay. Now, if all of you didn't raise your hand, then I'm convinced we've got some ETs in the audience, because as far as I'm concerned, we've all been to at least one birth, and that's your own. And I wonder how many of you recall your birth. My guess is not very many of us, unless we've done some previous subconscious therapy or work around this topic. Now, some of you may have, because it is a growing point of intervention. And a lot of people have started to delve into that realm of doing this work. So today I'm gonna begin by telling you a story. So some time ago, I was working with a couple who had completed my group hypnotherapy class. Now it's a 5-week class and we work very closely with the teachings of Marie Mungen and the Hypnobirthing Institute. And if you're not familiar with her work and are interested in experiencing a pain-free, unmedicated birth, then I highly recommend looking into that. Marie Mungen, and it's called Hypnobirthing. It's just such a wonderful way for you to really understand your body, your consciousness around birth, and to dehypnotize yourself essentially from these deeply embedded beliefs that we have from movies, from stories, just from really our collective consciousness around birth. And so Julie had joined my class, her and her partner joined my class when she was 30 weeks pregnant. Her partner and her owned and ran a very successful business here in town. And as you can imagine, they hadn't created a lot of time to prepare for this child until 30 weeks. And how many of us procrastinate those things in life that sometimes are the most important in our lives because we're just too busy, right? So Julie was committed, however. She did her daily meditations. She did her self-hypnosis practice, which we do daily. She really fully embraced the work that I teach. So she did really well. And at 40 weeks and 2 days, she began to feel the effects of early labor. And if any of you have been there before, you understand that this is essentially when the baby is ready and it sends a signal to the mother's body to begin to produce the hormones which relax her, they open her cervix, they tighten and contract the uterine muscles to naturally expel the baby smoothly and easily. I mean, people in comas can birth a baby because of that natural expulsive reflex that occurs in the body And really, babies and bodies are perfectly designed to experience even blissful birth. I mean, you can just ask all those hundreds of people that have experienced orgasmic birth, but that's another talk for another day. Okay, Julie's labor began, and then she froze. She began to feel over an overwhelming feeling of fear in her body. And suddenly, all of those early signs of labor ceased. And she got scared, she got nervous. So she called me late one evening and asked for an emergency hypnosis session. She hadn't met with me one-on-one before. She had only taken my group class. And I met her and her partner. And in this private session, we uncovered her own birth story, a story that her mother had never shared with her before. And sadly, it was a very common birth story with bright lights, people rushing around, unfamiliar masked faces, hospital staff, mom lying on her back, legs in the air, people telling her when to push, she's screaming, she's contracting and constricting. And if you can imagine, you've probably seen enough movies with that scene to really visualize it. Julie was born by forceps and whisked away from her mom for over an hour after birth. And it was no surprise to me that Julie's subconscious, which really has an impeccable memory, was triggered, and it triggered a response of danger and fear 32 years later. So we were able to work with her on the spot and reframe that experience and to clear some of it enough so that she could have the birth center birth that she desired. But it took a lot of work. And so how often are we like Julie? Really, we have the best intentions in mind, but we wait until the final hour to take action in our life. And how often do we have people in our lives that we can trust to help us, but we don't reach out to them when we really need it, only right at the last minute? And I ask everyone, each one of you, what is getting in the way of you taking action on your healing path right now, whatever that looks like, and whatever is coming up and arising for you? Okay, so I believe that healing is also a community effort, just as raising children is. And so we really need each other, and talking about these things and talking about our births and talking about them with professionals can be exceptionally healing, and one that can clear sort of like a root system. You know, if there's a root that's of a weed and you just keep cutting off the growth portion, it will continue to grow. But really, some of these birth traumas can be the root cause of a lot of things happening in our lives. And so if we can really get in there and excavate all those aspects of the roots, clear the soil and nourish it, we can plant seeds that are more conducive to the desires of your life, your goals, what it is that you're really wanting to create. So let's take a look at some of the mechanics behind birth and the hormones involved. Now, I'm going to keep it fairly simple just for the sake of time, but babies and bodies, like I said before, are really perfectly designed to start labor, to stay present with labor, and to birth a baby without intervention. And as I mentioned before, some people even experience blissful birth or orgasmic births. And this can happen when the proper hormones can flow freely in a conducive environment. So hormones, for instance, like oxytocin, this is the love hormone, and it's associated with bonding. It also helps with milk production in a new mother and encourages the uterus to tighten and initiate that natural expulsive reflex, which expels the baby. It requires us to stay relaxed and to allow those muscles to do that work. There's also really beneficial endorphins that run through a laboring mother that are designed to keep us calm and to reduce pain, so much so that it's more effective than morphine if there are sufficient endorphins running through the mother. There's prolactin, and this can help labor to progress, and it can help the mother to produce milk as well, which really, as we know, is the vital life, the life force. It's the nourishment of our babies. But we often see that when people don't have enough oxytocin or prolactin production, then they struggle with milk supply. And so it's vital that we create an environment for these hormones to be present as much as possible. There's also adrenaline. And this is just naming some of the few key hormones that play a vital role in the natural process of labor. But these can only be present if the mother is predominantly in the parasympathetic nervous system and it's activated. However, if it's interrupted and the body's stress response system that governs our flight or fight response, then we're flooded with entirely different hormones. And they might come in handy if there's a saber-toothed tiger around, but they're definitely not handy in birth. And essentially they shut down and they block the body's ability to let go sufficiently to birth and allow this free flow of these beneficial hormones to come into play. And so essentially this becomes our focus and the question, it becomes our focus and the question, I believe, how can we maintain the parasympathetic state as much as possible during pregnancy, during labor, and during birth? And let's face it, during life, basically. Now, of course, some stress is very important because it's a marker for the baby and it's an imprint on their stress regulation and recovery. So it teaches them how to respond to stress. And so I'm not suggesting we put ourselves in bubbles when we are pregnant or when we have children, because that's unrealistic and it actually causes a disservice to the child. They need some stress to be able to regulate. And the way that the mother responds to the world and the stressors around her will leave that lasting imprint. But luckily, I'm going to get to in just a moment, we can recreate that. We can take that imprint and replace it, which is good news. But studies do continue to show us the long-term negative effects of prolonged and significant perinatal and childhood stresses and trauma. And the results are daunting. We're still seeing them now. And there's a lot of really great research out there on that. Because really the brain, as it's developing, it's in its developmental state in utero. And as the child is growing, it's shaped by the intricate information that's filtered through the mother. And then the home life after birth. And they're literally creating a map of the world, and they'll use that map throughout their lives to guide them, to navigate the situations and their responses in the world. Okay, so we can see that it's very important to be mindful of the environment that we're creating and the way that we are responding in our bodies. And I recently heard of a very interesting study conducted with heart cells. You may be aware of this study. Basically what they did was they took one heart cell or a cardiomyocyte and they removed it from the cardiac muscle. And as they did that, it continued to model the rhythm of the heartbeat for some time until it began to fibrillate and then stop. However, if a cardiomyocyte from an entirely different heart was placed within a close proximity to the first cell, it would stop fibrillating and take on the pattern of the cell and now beating synchronistically, which is very interesting because we really do have an energetic effect on each other. And maybe you've noticed this with just friends or family. When you get into their space, you just automatically feel grounded, or you feel at ease in their presence. So if this is happening with completely non-related heart cells, can you imagine the impact that a mother whose heartbeat is the first thing that we hear is having on the child? It's a phenomenal impact, not only energetically, but physiologically and psychologically as well. So let's see. Now, we do need to remember that, and we all are very well aware of this, especially this year, that we live in a very fast-paced world, and we're constantly inundated with sensory overload, which is attacking our adrenals constantly. And even for adults, this can be a lot. But keep in mind that babies and children, their sensory gateways are wide open, and they're experiencing the whole world on an exponentially exaggerated level, if you can imagine that. So they're seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, tasting things that we may not even be aware of at any given moment. And I'm really an advocate. I love the work of Rudolf Steiner, and more recently, Kim John Payne, who speak to the importance of protecting the child's senses in a world that seems to be attacking the amygdala. And so if you're interested in more information on that, I highly recommend those two. So listen, I'm not giving you this information to make any parents feel guilty or ashamed for feeling stressed during pregnancy, or not having the ideal birth that they dreamt of, or for losing your temper occasionally with your children. This is not my intention. My intention is to share that prevention is possible, and recovery, there's hope for recovery as well. And really, one of my number one goals is to create a world filled with deeper love and connection for our future generations, and really break the historical and genetic cycles that we've been going through within the body, because that is really where we hold that information. And so this is my intention for sharing this today. And I know that this can be prevented because I've seen it. I've seen it in so many of my clients. I've seen them come from a place of real fear around birth, both partners, to a place where they trust their bodies and they know how to create a perfect and symbiotic environment or a relationship with their bodies that's conducive for nature to kick in and allow nature to really run its course, and especially within the birth world. Okay, so I know it can also be prevented with education, intentional action, and simply being more still. It can be that simple, just taking time every day to be more still. But it can also be healed in adults, and these and imprints that have been left on us. So how can we create an environment, a healthy environment for our babies and ourselves? This is the question. So hold on to that question for a moment as I take you on a journey inward. So you can get your paper and pen ready. We're going to use it in just a moment after we come out of this meditation. And in the meantime, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to get comfortable wherever you are currently seated or lying down, preferably seated. We don't want you to fall asleep. Close your eyes and go on a journey with me. So not yet, but just allow yourself as we go on this journey to let go. Become fully present with yourself, fully present with your body. And what I'm going to tell you is that it's really easy for you to access deep relaxation, even if you're not a meditator. Here's why. Because you access this deep place at least twice a day without your knowing, or without you having to do very much. Every single day, as you enter into from wakefulness to sleep, you pause through what some people call that lucid period. But that really is where you are the most suggestible. And it is that theta brainwave frequency. So you enter into it when you go to sleep, and you enter into it when you are waking up, going from the sleep state to awake. So you're actually really good at it because you've practiced it a lot. So you'll see that it's really easy for you. Okay, so in a comfortable place, just allow yourself to let go as you close your eyelids down. Bring your awareness to your breath and bring all of your awareness to the sensations of that breath. Without changing its rhythm, just notice where it is now for a few breaths. Good. And as you continue to notice, I'm going to share a breath that when used can calm your nervous system right down in just a moment. This is one you can use in traffic, a business meeting, when you're feeling stressed about a deadline, or when your two-year-old is melting down from dysregulation. Really anytime you can use this breath. So keeping your eyes closed, you can allow yourself to improve on this breath as well. It does get easier with practice. It's very simple. The count here is 4 in, 8 out. So listen and follow along as you inhale slowly to the count of 4, 3, 2, 1. And exhale slowly and controlled, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Again, in 4, 3, 2, 1, out, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Two more times, 4, 3, 2, 1, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 4, 3, 2, 1, out, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you can see that immediately you begin to sink into a deep place of relaxation. It does get easier as you practice. Now, keeping your eyes closed, feel yourself dropping into deep relaxation and allow your breath to find its very own rhythm. And as your complete focus and awareness accumulates, allow it to bring to present the now. As you begin to feel a wave of relaxation washing over you from the top of your head all the way down through the soles of your feet, allow yourself to sink deeply into an ultimate state of relaxation. Good. And as another wave washes over you, you feel your head and neck muscles letting go. All the muscles in and around your face are releasing now. Your shoulders, your chest, your arms and your abdomen all releasing. You relax and you let go. You can now feel every cell, every nerve turning loose, and you let go entirely now. Your hips and pelvis releasing. Your legs and ankles, all the way down to the soles of your feet, fully relaxed, as you feel yourself floating, drifting, and even sinking into the deepest state of relaxation you have ever experienced right now. And you allow yourself to turn loose, to let go. And you really enjoy being here. You are so good at this. Now turn your focus inward as you go deep into the awareness of yourself. You can now access the feeling of being in the most safe, most comfortable and loving womb. Imagine that you are enveloped in this warm space. Allow your complete focus to accumulate into the presence of being held entirely, held in the waters of the loving womb. You are weightless, absolutely warm, fluid, gentle, this loving vessel that holds you. Everything you need to thrive surrounds you in abundance. All of your needs and desires are now met even before there is thought for them. You are safe. You are absolutely loved. You begin to feel the presence of warm hands holding, sending intention of love to you. And you know it is fully directed towards you and you receive it. You feel entirely enveloped with absolute love. And as you sense the waves of love penetrating this home that you know intimately, you begin to hear and feel the frequency of words being spoken to you by this most calming, most familiar voice. The love that is holding you in her divine womb is speaking kind and loving words to you now. You feel delighted to hear her. You feel a yearning to hear what she has to say to you. And as you sense these words, you will be able to recall them, to write them down when we are finished. And so you listen. You feel and you know. And feeling yourself absolutely enveloped with love and the frequency of love. You listen Now I'm going to be silent for 2 minutes. So take your time and hear these loving words your soul has been longing to hear. These words now fill you and expand you. As love washes in, around, and through you, you know that you belong. You know that you are loved. You know that you are worthy. That you are nature and nature is abundant. You are abundant love. You know that you can always return to this place and ask yourself, what are the words I longed to hear as a baby? Listen and respond. And in just a moment, when I say open your eyes, you will so easily come back to an absolutely loving state, be able to write these words down, feeling aware, feeling exuberant, feeling wholly loved and fully embodied. And now you can open your eyes and come back to the presence of this talk. And you can take a few moments now just to write down some of those things that came to you. And know that you can come back to this practice at any time. But these are the words really that you will speak to yourself daily. The words that you speak to yourself are exponentially more impactful than the words that other people speak to us. And the words that we speak to our children are what become their inner voice. So you can obviously practice this when you're pregnant as well. You reverse it and you speak to your child as though they are the most loved beings. You speak to them and ask them, what do you need? And learn to be a good listener and hear what they have to say. You may be surprised what comes to you. The idea really is that you're connecting with your child even before they're born. Some people would even say or argue that you can start doing this before conception and begin that conversation. And so it's just something that I encourage you to do if you are pregnant. And if you're not, you can do this with yourself. You can go into that aspect of you that is in the womb, that has been there. And if you think of time not as linear, but just as sequential, then there's still that aspect of you that is alive and wants to be heard. What are the words that you would have loved being told? And so I want us to go back to that question that I initially asked of how can we create a healthy environment for ourselves and for our babies. And I'm going to give just a few tools, so keep your pen out, to connect with your baby and then also connect with yourself. And just because of time, I'm going to move through these relatively quickly. So one of the things you can do to connect with your baby is to hum with intention. Vibration is amplified in water and it transmits 4 times faster than it does in air. So that intention is also very powerful. Speaking to your baby as though you would someone who is wholly loved, speaking positively about your pregnancy and really being careful not to blame any symptoms on this baby. Also speaking to your emotions that you're having while pregnant as though you are working through them with the child, telling them why you're sad and when you're feeling down and what's happening in your life, can teach them to regulate their emotions more healthily. Dancing and moving rhythmically to express your emotions, shaking, you could do some loving rocking, side to side, swirling your hips in both directions, walking, and any other nourishing movements that feel really good to you will also feel good to your baby. Massaging, rubbing, tickling, scratching your beautiful belly with intention and really sending love with your hands can make a big difference. Internal dialogue, you know, you think that you're the only one that can hear it, but there's energy that is felt in your body when you're speaking to yourself. And so having that conversation with them internally, it can also be a very good practice. And again, practicing to be a good listener. And then visualize yourself holding your baby in your arms, gazing into their eyes, visualizing the birth that you wish to experience, and visualizing the life that you'd like to create for them can really set you on a course of intention. Smelling uplifting and calming essential oils can be a really nice way to engage your senses and to connect with them. And always check for contraindications with herbs and oils when pregnant, of course. You can enjoy intimate love with your partner if you have one, or with yourself if you don't. So orgasms feel fantastic, but they also release oxytocin and they tone the uterus at the same time. And semen contains prostaglandins, which soften and ripen the cervix and help it to open. So all great benefits. These are really basic tools that I'm about to give you for yourself. Those are for your baby. But I'm a huge advocate of going back to the basics and really fine-tuning them and seeing if you can infuse a deeper sense of intention into them. So really, the things that I just mentioned, you can flip those onto yourself. So speaking nourishing words to yourself, speaking kindly, and really praising yourself every single day, internally and out loud. These are great tools to connect more with yourself and that inner child. Humming to yourself with intention and singing your affirmations, singing your desires and your dreams for your life can be really playful and fun and very potent. And oming with your ears plugged. My five-year-old told me that one, and it's one of my favorites. dancing, shaking, and allowing energy and emotions to flow through you is another great way. Sexual intimacy with yourself, with your partner, and also non-sexual intimacy. So allowing your partner to touch you in soft, beautiful ways that isn't associated with sexual intimacy. And then imagine that you are held. Imagine that you are allowed to have your emotions. When your emotions arise, allow yourself to be held in them. Imagine that you are being held by a loving mother, someone who is just being present and holding space for you. And lastly, but really importantly, and this one applies for pregnancy as well, and this is eating a really healthy, beautiful diet with essential fats and loads of colors and just really taking care of your body. So we're getting to the end. I was going to talk a little bit more about affirmations and how you can self-author them. This is information you can find really anywhere on the internet. A lot of people are talking about it. Affirmations are great, but when they're self-authored, they're much more powerful. So I really encourage you to find ones that align with you and work with you. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, meditation and mindfulness can be a really great way to connect in pregnancy, to calm yourself down and to allow yourself to have hormones flowing through you that are beneficial in birth. And affirmations, the words you speak, the mindfulness around that, and then reparenting yourself, just pretending to be that parent, pretending to be that loving person that is nurturing to you. And like I said, the mind doesn't differentiate between imagination and reality. So by you being your loving parent can be very powerful. So We have about 5 minutes for questions, and I'm just going to open that up. If there are any, we can spend just a few minutes doing that. Is there time for that?
There is time. If you have a question, please type in the Q&A box.
If you don't have questions, I can keep talking.
Sure.
Okay, great.
No questions. Go for it.
Awesome. Give me more time. I'll talk all day. Okay, so yeah, so some things to consider with affirmations are excite your senses. Use words that excite you and keep it present and keep it positive. So some examples of ones that I like to use frequently are, I'm thrilled to wake up and take care of my body every day. I love the direction that my life is taking. I'm excited to be someone who follows through. I love knowing that the work I do makes an impact in the world, and so on. I think you get the idea. It's really pretty simple, pretty basic. And if you've used affirmations before, you can understand the potency that they can have in your life if used with intention and feeling. And if you couple them with meditation and visualization, they can and will change your life. So I think we have time for one last story. And maybe not. No, I don't think we will. So, okay, so basically the story of Julie shows us that we can intervene and break the patterns of historical imprints. And she also shows us that we don't have to wait until the final hour to take action on our lives and to call upon those that can support us. And when you slow down and turn your attention inward, you can ask yourself and you can ask your baby, what do you need? You can listen and then use that to create proactive intentions and actions around your life. This sounds really basic and simple, but it's really powerful. We know now that we can change our minds. We now know that you can change your DNA and update the coding that has run your life to date. So really anything's possible. And these events that have happened in our life don't have to continue driving us. And we also know that we can prevent future generations from reacting to and creating a world from a defensive, fearful, and overstimulated standpoint. We really can cut that in its tracks and create a different path for them. And really, education begins in the womb. It does. We start to create that map of the world in the womb. And I know for many of us, for me at least, I've spent most of my life unlearning. I spent a lot of energy unwinding and rewriting. And so just to close, I want us to imagine the generations to come. Imagine the generations to come knowing that they are loved, knowing that they are worthy, and knowing that they are creative beings capable of infinite possibilities with all the energy that they need to be who they are, not needing to do all of that unwinding and unlearning, but really just creating a platform for them to thrive. And that's my goal. That's why I do the work that I do. So I work with parents. It's not so much for them, it's for the children. It's for their babies that they're about to have. And the hypnotherapy that I do, it is for the children living inside the adult that is traumatized, the child inside the adult that is anguished. So even though I do work with adults, I consider really that I work mostly with children. So I think that ends my time. So I'm gonna stop here and just say thank you all for listening. Thank you all for showing up. And thank you all for doing your work, because if you're here, that means that you are on a path to embodiment and deeper inquiry and discovery. So thank yourselves and thank you.
Thank you. We do have time for one question. We have a couple great. That just showed up. Can we support future grandchildren in the same way? What are some specifics for the grandparent relationship?
That's a really beautiful question. Thank you for asking that. So as a grandparent, you can do your own work. You can really start to unwind your own trauma and to, because a lot of times we don't even know and realize that just by the words that we speak and the habits that we have created around these imprints are perpetuating that imprint. And so I really encourage people of all ages, but especially grandparents, to do your inner work, to go inside and to clear space for greater love within yourself. And by doing that, you're modeling to them self-love, you're modeling to them creativity and growth. And additionally, open a dialogue. Do things differently than maybe your parents did or your grandparents, and open a dialogue with them, age appropriately, of course, to speak about your stories and your life. And I think that in our world, there's a gaping, what's the word? We're sort of at a loss here because there's this big divide between these younger generations and the older ones, just how our society is really divided. So to create a connection with them and start the conversation of what's going on in your life? What does it feel like for you to be a teenager in 2020? What does it feel like for you to navigate social media? I never had that. And I think that that connection can be healing as well.
Great, thank you. One last question. What if the first pregnancy was lost and fear is present in the second pregnancy?
Yeah, that's very common, actually. Miscarriage is much more common than we talk about. And so it's possible to create or to eliminate that fear, essentially, and to create a framework for positivity around it. And it is very present in one's body when it's been a pregnancy. And depending on where, when, and how that child was lost, it can also create more of an imprint in our bodies. But through the work of a lot of somatic work can release that, and subconscious therapy as well. It can go in, like I said before, and sort of draw out those roots that are creating this belief system that there's maybe something wrong with my body, or the reason that it happened in the first place, you know, could be resolved, and then create an entirely new space for trust in your body, trust that you are capable of carrying a child full term and birthing a child. And so I do highly recommend for anybody really, and for anything, subconscious therapy is very powerful and so healing. Education as well, educating oneself on what is possible, and then doing that work within yourself, like I suggested, going in and asking yourself, what do I need to heal this? What can I do to create a new space for a new baby?
Great, thank you so much for that powerful presentation, especially the nourishing practice or the guided meditation to feel held in words of love and frequency of love. I found that especially nourishing. And thank you for sharing your tools of awareness to help us create healthier relationships with our babies, with our children, and ourselves. Thank you so much. Everybody, if you would like to continue the conversation and learn more together, please join the Facebook group. There is the main Embodiment Conference Facebook group and also a private group that's been created for this channel, Coaching and Therapy, TEC, Coaching and Therapy. We could put the link in the chat. It's a great way to connect and share your learning on this journey together. Our next session on this channel is with Haman Vaid and Somatic Trances, a Hypnotic Seduction of the self. And this Embodiment Conference Library is available for purchase if you are an embodiment geek like me. You may be tempted to force feed yourself all these yummy sessions in a short amount of time, but you do not need to. You can purchase the entire library for yourself to digest in your own time. There are learning lists, audio only, and notes. It is a tremendous thank you to us and a tremendous gift to the world. Your purchase allows these live sessions to be free for everybody else. We also have the sponsor link in the chat as well. So I have one more question for Demezel. What is your top tip to stay embodied?
I love that question. My top tip to stay embodied is to stay present with the breath. My breath is really my number one tool to bring me back into my body.
Such a great reminder for all of us to remember to breathe. Thank you so much for everyone who joined us. Thank you again, Demezel. What a wonderful presentation. I look forward to more learning together. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Elise. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you.